Thank you, Donna. So good morning to all of you. Cavell said on her way in, I can't believe I'm finally out of the house. We all said that one day, didn't we? First Sunday we walked in here, we go, what is all this space? Anyway, nice to have you here. Rhoda, welcome back. Dorothy, nice to have you back. Cavell, welcome back. And Cheryl, you've taken 10 years off your life with that haircut. You look fabulous. I wish I had options like you, but lovely. All right. What's that? What did I call her? Didn't I call you Margaret? Dorothy. Did you ever want to be called Dorothy, Margaret?
No.
No? Okay. Sheila always wanted to be called Shirley, so I called her Shirley, so Sheila, she would know Shirley that she's Sheila. So anyway, okay. Very quickly, announcements. I have a board meeting after the church today to update some things, so board, please be reminded of that. 2:00 on Monday, we have prayer time here at the church, and Saturday night at 7:00. Don't forget to put your tithes in the offering plate on the way out today, and there are also the daily breads for the next segment. I have a brand new historical update on the founding of the Radio Bible Class and the history of the Daily Breads. It goes back to 1938, and it's a fascinating story. I brought a copy if you want to read it. Talk to me after the service, and you can be the first to read it, but you'll really be amazed at how the Lord started that whole ministry, and we've been so blessed every year to get those devotional booklets. Next Sunday after church, Jane and I want to invite all of you to our home for lunch, swim, bonfire, talk, games, lie on your lawn chair, lie in the grass, whatever you want to do. We got to get together. So please bring your lunch. We'll supply cold drinks and freezies and ice cream treats, and we'll have some packaged s'mores if you want to have a s'more around the bonfire, and bring your lawn chairs if you want. If you want to have a canopy or anything in case it's really hot. And of course, if you want to have a swim, bring your bathing suit. Don't forget. Okay? Okay. And so we'll do that right after church next Sunday. Elders, please remind your people who don't have email to let them know. So I know they would appreciate knowing that as well. Okay, so we'll meet next Sunday, as I said, at our home. If you need directions, we'll certainly let you know where it is. Okay, is there anything else we need to update? Sheila, any updates financially? Okay. Okay, Phil, anything? Richard, anything? We're good? Okay. Let's open with prayer, shall we? Father, we want to thank you for the privilege of just being able to come into your presence and just have a time with you. Lord, these days are packed with so many things and people and interactions and having to go places and make decisions, and much of what we're trying to decide is we don't even have facts to work with. We're waiting for phone calls. We're waiting for opportunities to have meetings with people or to book appointments, or just everything's on hold. And so, Lord, may this time be just a time that we just rest in you, that you would remind us of how much you love us as we sing and as we worship you, as we hear your word, and as we proclaim that reality, that it would encourage all of us. And so, Father, for all of our church family, wherever they are this day, those that are traveling and those that are not well, that your hand would be upon them. And so bless each and every one of us, we pray now in Christ's name. Amen. Team, would you come, please?
Thank you, Lord, for saving us. Thank you, Lord, for being in the midst of us. And thank you for keeping us all well. And we just pray for Pastor John now as he's bringing the sermon, that you will give him the words you want him to say and open the eyes of our heart, Lord, and open the ears so that we hear and learn, Lord.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Bless the Lord. Well, I don't know what the rest of you are doing through the midweek, but Thursday night we're meeting here for Bible study. So Thursday night we got here, and I'll tell you, we started laughing and carrying on. Jim, you know, as a teacher, how do you get a rowdy class to stop, eh? But I'll tell you, we laughed again. If you haven't laughed for a while, you need to come on out Thursday night, 7 o'clock. We're into Proverbs chapter 6. We're looking at the book of Proverbs. And besides, the book speaks to everybody else. It won't affect you. So you don't need to worry. But boy, did we have fun. I drove home last week. I was so excited about just how much fun we had. You know, what I miss is laughter. I really miss just laughter. And so I'm hoping we'll get that back. Okay, so before we do notes of praise and prayer requests, I just want to announce we've got some birthdays. Mark has his birthday on the 9th, and Natalie and Gord are celebrating on their 14th, on the 14th, and the Aberdeens also have an anniversary on the 14th. So there are some folks, you can give them a call and either wish them a happy birthday or a happy anniversary. Heard from Donna and Bruce, they're there in Newfoundland. They're doing well, of course, tired. But the update is that Donna's sister, Louise, is going to have to remain in the leg cast for another 2 weeks, and so we'll continue to lift up Louise. Also, Crystal has some unspoken requests, and Monica's having some health issues, and Catherine, of course, is continuing to get strengthened. And she was telling me this week, Jane and I were visiting her, and she said she just can't believe this church, how much the love is, and people have dropped food off to her. And so, you know, kudos to everybody and to Linda for coordinating that for her. Sometimes we just need a little TLC, don't we? Just a little TLC. Okay, for praise, Crystal, brother Leo, he's continuing to recoup after his stroke. And as I mentioned, the Clarks are enjoying some great weather. I talked to Serena Grant. Many of you will remember Serena. She moved out to Vancouver Island. She just celebrated her 83rd birthday this week. But she was telling me that she can't remember in the history of Vancouver Island when they've had so little rain. She said, normally this island is rain, you know, from the spring through the summer. She said we hardly had any rain all spring, no rain all summer, and very, very hot. And so she was commenting that a lot of the folks that live there on the island were telling her what a difference the weather patterns have been. So, all right, let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to just rejoice with each other. We're so thrilled the Clarks are enjoying their time in Newfoundland. We just pray that you'll continue to make them a blessing in all that they go through. And just for Cavell's mom as she turns 100, what a milestone that is, and a testimony of your faithfulness to her. And we pray for Bob as he has his final radiation treatment tomorrow. And Lord, that this will be the beginning of a real turnaround for him of health and strength. And Father, we lift up others that need a special touch from you. We think of Monica, we think of Suzanne, and we think of those that are struggling for Crystal and those that just are not sure if they're coming or going. Lord, your peace would be upon them and your strength would be within them. And Lord, you give answers. Judy needs an answer for an appointment for hip surgery, and there are others that are waiting for necessary support and help. We think of Serena out in Vancouver waiting for hip surgery as well. And Lord, there are many we could lift up. Unspoken requests are many. And yet, Lord, you know everything. You know the people we're praying for even more than they know themselves. You made them. You've watched over them. You've cared for them. You've directed them, and you've protected them. And Lord, thank you for all your protection this week as we've gone through a busy week, as we head into a new week. Lord, we know you're going to go before us and guide us and give us direction and give us the answers that we need so that we can not only serve you well, but we can live with a confidence where people can see that we love Jesus. And so, Father, thank you again through Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who comforts us continually. And, Father, for each and every request that is ongoing and things that are not yet settled, whether it's Susan and the girls or other situations, that you're working behind the scenes. And we have absolute trust that you know what's going to happen and where it's going to happen and when it's going to happen. And we believe, as your word says, that all things work together for good for those who love you and are called according to your purposes. And so, Father, we just thank you for your blessings. And those that have birthdays and an anniversary this week, may they also be blessed this week. And we thank you in Christ's name. And everybody said, amen. Bless the Lord. I want to talk to you this morning about godly influences. And I want this sermon to be kind of a reflective sermon. I want you to think back in your life to times and places where people had profound Christian influences upon you. And as you're thinking about that, I want to set the stage with a scripture from Hebrews chapter 12. You'll know it well, but I just want to reiterate this morning. So Hebrews 12 and verse 1, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Jesus, who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Now, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, I just want to clarify that. That's not we're all surrounded by a bunch of dead people, okay? Those that have died are where? In heaven with the Lord. But we are surrounded by all of those who have gone before us in terms of the idea, okay? And we have with us now, of course, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit at our right hand. And so Paul, in his second letter to Timothy, sets out what I want to talk about today with regard to godly influences. And he says to Timothy in verse 1, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. So for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Who are the two godly influences that you see that Timothy has directly related as Paul has brought it to his attention? Grandmother and mother, Lois and Eunice. And Paul's saying, I want to be really clear on that because I don't want you to forget who influenced you. And by the way, I did too when I laid my hands on you. All right? So the question I want to ask you today, in fact, there are two questions. Number one, who's influenced you for the cause of Christ? All right? And the second question is, who are you influencing for the cause of Christ? Because we're a witness whether we know it or not with people all around us, do we not? Do we not know that? And so I want you to think in terms of who's affected you over these years, who's been in your life maybe 50, 60, 70 years ago. I mean, I had grandparents praying for me before I was even born. We don't know the prayers of righteous people. We don't know of people that have worked. I mean, I'm reminded of one of the most profound stories I ever read when I was studying was about a Sunday school teacher who had a group of grade 5 boys. And she enjoyed those boys so much that when they graduated in Sunday school to grade 6, she became their grade 6 teacher, grade 7 teacher, grade 8, and then on into high school. And then at about the time they were 18 years of age, the Second World War had started. England went to war, and so her entire Sunday school class went off to war. Many of them went off into the RAF. Well, this dear lady continued to be a Sunday school teacher. She remained single all of her life. And finally, one day at near the end of the war, one of these young men came back and wanted to see Miss So-and-so. So he went to the church, and there was the custodian. And the custodian said, oh, you want to see Miss So-and-so? She's out back. So he went around the back of the church, and there was the cemetery. And he found her tombstone, and as soon as he saw her name on the tombstone, he was incredibly convicted. He fell to his knees, and he accepted the Lord, kneeling on the tombstone, because he suddenly remembered everything that teacher had been teaching him all those years. Even in death, this woman was a profound influence on this young man. And so I want you to think about that as I share the story. This is a story that has absolutely captivated me this week. It's a story of David. It's not David in the Bible, but I'm going to see if you can figure out who this man is. He was born on March the 19th, in 1813 in the mill town of Blantyre, Scotland, on the River Clyde. He was two of seven children born to Neil and Agnes. At the age of 10, he was sent into the cotton mills to be a piercer, where he tied the ends of cotton onto spinning machines, and he and his brothers and sisters worked 14-hour days from 6 in the morning till 8 o'clock at night, 10 years of age. It was after 8 o'clock at night that they always tried to have a little schooling. Can you imagine how tired you'd be? His dad was a Sunday school teacher and a teetotaler. In fact, his dad was a strong Christian, along with, of course, his mother. His dad would hand out Christian tracts as a door-to-door tea salesman. So again, this young man, David, had a profound influence even in the home. He became an avid reader after he had learned to read and write. And in 1832, he read the book Philosophy of a Future State, which reconciled science and Christianity. He had other influences in his life. There was an evangelist by the name of Thomas Burke who would come to his area and preach. He himself had a Sunday school teacher by the name of David Hogg. And then there was a preacher that he loved to listen to named Ralph Wardlaw. And then many of you will remember the name Charles Finney. This young man, David, was able to get influence under Charles Finney. Of course, Charles was over here in the United States in Ohio, but he profoundly influenced David as well. It was him, Charles, that actually convinced David that he did not need to fear eternal damnation because he understood what it meant to be saved and have your sins forgiven. Well, then David read another book by Carl Gustloff called An Appeal to the Churches of Britain and America on Behalf of China. That inspired him, and so he asked his dad if he could go into the medical profession and then could be a missionary as a doctor. His dad said, okay. And so in 1840, he became, on November the 16th, a medical doctor. And then he joined the London Missionary Society in order to train to be a missionary. He originally thought probably China. Well, there was a fellow by the name of Robert Moffat. He was a missionary in Africa. And he was talking to David and told him that the entire continent of Africa was wide open for the gospel. Well, there was another influencer. How many of you know what an abolitionist is? One, two, okay. So an abolitionist was a person who wants to abolish slavery, okay? They're against human slavery. And of course, in the early 1800s, in 1800s, hundreds of thousands of indigenous people were taken out of Africa in chains to England and other British colonies, to North America, to be what? Human slaves. And so he had, it wasn't until 1837 that the British actually passed a law against slavery. But up until then, there was a lot of slavery going on. And so there's a fellow by the name of T.F. Buxton. And he believed that the African slave trade could be destroyed through the influence of legitimate trade and the spread of Christianity. Well, of course, David found that to be right down his alley. So he decided he would go to Africa, and in 1845 he arrived and began to realize that if he was going to successfully evangelize the continent, he had to do what? He had to learn to navigate the rivers, because the rivers would take him to the people. And so I'm going to show you three slides, and these are three of the main rivers that David realized, and so he began to literally be an explorer. In fact, he became so well known that the Royal Geographical Society actually paid him money to explore these rivers. And the first one you're going to see is the one that's flowing down from just south of the Democratic Republic of the Congo, and it's the Zambezi River, if you've heard that name. And you can see it flows through Zambia and Botswana and Zimbabwe, Mozambique, and it comes right out. It's the fourth largest river in Africa, and it's the only one that flows into the Indian Ocean or the Mozambique Channel. So he started up, and he started heading up that river. And you'll notice, if you can see in the bottom, it shows Livingston and the Victoria Falls. Of course, there are four major falls on this river, and of course now used for hydroelectric power. But when he saw Victoria Falls, he named it in honor of Queen Victoria. And Livingston, of course, I might give something away there. So let's move on. So the next map I want to show you, this is the Congo River. It starts as the Lualaba River, and it becomes the Congo River. And it flows through the Democratic Republic of the Congo. And it comes out, if you can see, at what used to be Angola, and it flows into the Atlantic Ocean. And so in the next slide, what you'll see is you can see the major rivers of Africa, and down on the eastern side, the southeastern side, you can see the Zimbabwe, you can see the Congo. His determination was to do what? Find the Nile River. Because he thought, if I can find the Nile River, then that will be good for commerce and for legitimate trade. And really, I think in many ways, he was trying to find a northwest passage that went through the whole of the continent. And so for months, he traversed the land and did a lot of traveling and maps and kept records and things that no European had ever been or seen before. He felt it was his spiritual calling. Now listen to this. If I asked you for a moment, what do you think your spiritual calling is? Would you say this was yours? But this was David's. His spiritual calling was to find routes for commercial trade which would displace the slave routes. That is what he felt his calling was. In fact, there is a statue in Victoria Falls, and underneath it says Christianity, commerce, and civilization. He desired, as he went through the Zambezi River, to plant mission stations all along the river, and his hope was that other Europeans and those from the UK would come and work in these different stations that he established along the river routes. Well, let me continue because it's fascinating what happened next. So he, during those years, of course, he had taken his wife and his children. And what happens so often is malaria hit the family. Mary died of malaria in 1862. David, through his life in Africa, suffered the following. I don't know how you'd feel suffering these, but here's what he suffered. Cholera, malaria, tropical ulcers on his feet, pneumonia, and dysentery, so he had almost everyday constant bleeding. And yet that never hindered him from what? Wanting to see Jesus Christ real in the continent. He's been known as Africa's greatest missionary, but what's interesting is that records show he only converted one man. He only converted one man, Seashell, which was the chief of the Kwinna tribe in Botswana. But what's interesting is that chief in time led his entire tribe to Christ and had a profound effect in all of Central Africa. Neil Parsons of the University of Botswana says that this chief did more to propagate Christianity in 19th century Africa than virtually any single European missionary. Who influenced him? David. David may not have thought he did anything of any real importance other than to map places out, and yet that man started a revival in Africa that has never stopped since the early 1860s. Do you ever hear his name? No. In 1860, David decided to start the university's mission to Central Africa. He founded it, and it was a group of missionaries as well as medical missionaries, and their whole desire was to go and meet and share the faith with people of Africa. Here's what was written in one of his journal entries. He said the following, "I place no value on anything I have or possess except in relation to the kingdom of Christ. If anything will advance the interests of the kingdom, it shall be given away or kept only as if by giving or keeping it, I shall promote the glory of him to whom I owe all my hopes in time and eternity. Boy, you know what? I think we ought to incorporate that for ourselves. What do you say? That should be our journal entry. We should post that on the fridge doors of our homes. Everything, all for Christ. Well, this man went on to continue to travel the best he could. He suffered incredible pain. I don't think you and I have any idea of how much tropical diseases affect people's bodies. Finally, in May 1st of 1873, as he was kneeling in prayer, he died. And some of his faithful followers took his heart out and they buried it in the near Zambia, near the Zambezi River. And then his body was left. It was taken to England to the Royal Canadian, the Royal Geographical Society's headquarters, and then he was interred in Westminster Abbey. And I'm sure by now you'd know I'm talking about David Livingstone. So here again, I want to ask you, in light of what I've just shared about David, in light of what I've shared about this Sunday school teacher, I want you just to take a minute and think about who has affected you over the years and enabled you to be where you are in this place of faith that you are today. Some of the people you may not even know. How many times in churches have we prayed for people who we've never met? How many times we've heard of miracles, conversions, healings, and things with people we'll never see this side of heaven? And yet, how many times have we had faithful people work in our lives year after year, month after month, day after day? And so I want you to have a sense of thankfulness today. But now I want you to have a sense of motivation. Because as surely people influenced you and I for the cause of Christ, what are you and I doing today? Who are we praying for? Who are we talking to? It's interesting as we're getting ready to move how imperative I'm starting to feel with regard to my neighbors. It's amazing how when you live beside people for so many years, you kind of take them for granted. Oh, they'll always be there. Well, in my neighbor's house next door, already two people have died in the time we've lived beside them. Last night I went over and I sat with my neighbor. He provides me a very comfortable chair. It's a piece of wood and a piece of wood and a piece of wood. What I can't figure out for the life of me is for 16 years when I go over to his garage why I don't ever bring my own lawn chair. You'd think I'd have learned by now. But I sat with him and I began to tell him, you know, how much I've appreciated him as a neighbor. And you could tell he was starting to well up. And I know that I'm going to get to the point where I'm going to say, I really want to see in heaven when our lives are over. But you know, sometimes we get a sense of doing things and we need to do them right away. If you get a sense to pray for somebody, pray for them. If you get a sense to call somebody on the telephone, call them. You need to send somebody a text, send a text. You know, it used to be when I was a kid, I used to think if I share about believing in Jesus Christ, somebody's going to punch me in the mouth. I've never been punched yet, but I've had a lot of people run away. Because the reality is, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, forever. And he's looking to draw all men to himself, and women and boys and girls. So this week, in the midst of your gratitude for the fact that Jesus loves you, see what he wants you to do in terms of influence in the days to come. All right? Let's be a David as we move forward. Let's pray together. Father, I want to thank you for those who have gone before us. We are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. So many that have influenced us in years past who are now standing around your throne, waiting to meet us as we journey into eternity. But more than that, Lord, it's very easy to take people for granted. David would not have been able to do all the things he had done if it wasn't for all these pivotal people in his life in those formative years, and then as he became an adult in the support he got so that he could go out into the mission that you've called him to. Lord, we may not have anything near as profound a calling as David had. None of us may be called to the interior of Africa. We are not Billy Grahams. We're not called to huge ministries or big churches or profound ministries. But Lord, we're all called to be your light and your hands and your feet in the streets where we live, in the towns where we live, in the time that we live. And so, Lord, while we thank you for those who've been such a tremendous influence in our lives over the years, remind us, too, that you are using us as ambassadors for the cause of your Son in these upcoming days. And Lord, show us where you want us to walk and talk and with whom you want us to share. So bless us as we continue on our divine mission this week, that we have a God to serve and a God to share with. Thank you. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Bless the Lord. As we head out, you're going to go before us. And our prayer this week is that you will make us a blessing to someone or to a family, maybe to more than one. But in all of it, we want to honor you in all that we do, think, and say. And so go before us, we pray, in your powerful name. Amen and amen. Bless the Lord.